morning. Or, yeah, still morning for you at least.
Just fairly.
Just barely.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's okay. It feels very early. That's all right. Let's see what we get today, huh?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Right. Well, we have Mara. Hello.
That's what I want, some coffee.
Are you drinking coffee?
Me? Coffee? At this time of
Well,
day?
I
Yeah.
know I'm drinking coffee, and I know you're drinking coffee, but is Tara drinking coffee? There was a time
No.
when she was trying not to.
I am trying to give it up again, and I'm miserable and unhappy.
Have you replaced it with tea?
No. Because that's just half of the same problem for people who are addicted to caffeine.
Oh, I see. But isn't there sort of a stepping down process that
Yeah, I've never been able to get that to work. I've always been cold turkey is the only way to do it.
cold turkey or nothing?
Pretty
Doesn't
much, yeah.
it give you
Okay.
headaches though?
Yeah, yes, it does.
Yeah. You're like, yeah.
Okay, so for Tara's benefit, I'm drinking juice. I just happen to be
Right.
drinking it out of a mug. It's delicious juice.
Traditional juice mug.
Right.
Warm juice. Warm juice from the cacao plant.
Nothing wrong with a little juice from the coffee, from the cacao. Well, is cacao coffee or is it
That's chocolate, isn't it?
chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cacao is chocolate, so.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that would be okay.
Right.
Not
Well,
the right thing, though.
and yes. Well, I will say that just to shift the subject, I did go to the Field Museum's they had a display about chocolate. Sort of the science of it. They talked about the history of it. It turns out that chocolate was the earliest cash crop in human history. Ordinarily, when someone brought something to market, they would eat just whatever they were bringing to market. But the chocolate was too valuable, so they would have to bring separate provisions.
Yeah, it's it c cacao beans were used in Mesoamerican cities as currency. So you could bring in a bunch of like say corn, and you could receive a couple of cacao beans in exchange.
And also apparently its very, very earliest usage was like old ladies would pull a couple of beans from their backyard, and then just grind it up and stick it in boiling water as a morning drink. But then then everybody was like, oh, hey, this is great. And then, according to the Field Museum.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I have a book for, on the shelf next to me that talks
Ah.
about it, but I cannot recall the name. And I
You can
remember it's a
remember.
small book, so it'd be really hard to find. Course, I organized these shelves by title and not author, which makes it even worse. I remember the author.
Sure, but that's better than my system, which is grouped together generally when I first set up the books by subject, and then after that it's just whatever comes in the order I buy it.
Nice.
Right.
All right, folks, it's 8:05, 11:05, 9:05 p.m. I don't know what time. It's 5 minutes after, so let's talk about WolfCon. Actually, do we have any housekeeping besides actually, I don't know if we have any. I think the one piece of housekeeping I would say is we the programming board, we've been trying to line up the sessions for the rest of the year. And if my memory is correct, we have three planned. In 2 weeks, we have one on archive space, and we have a couple people recruited to come and talk to us about their archive space implementations and how they do or do not link up with Folio, integrate with Folio. So that's at the end of this month. We are trying to get Library of Congress, when they're working again, to come and talk to us more about their implementation. I know that, well, we'll get to the Wilcon sessions, but I know theirs was popular. And then we have one more that has come up, which is, I think it's BVB, have been working on RFID and their own app to integrate with Folio, because none of the, I don't know if they're able to use the third-party apps like Biblioteca that I know that Stanford is using. They wanted to come talk to us about what they do, what others do with RFID, and show us what integration they're cooking up, and see what the interest is in having something officially, hooked up with RFID and Folio. So we're trying to get that scheduled. I think, we did have a couple other sessions for the rest of the year that were already there. Circuit equipment, there's always the soft skills about migration, change management that is on the schedule. But I think these other two are, we want to get those scheduled. So, Charlotte, your hand is up. What's up?
I wonder if you would be interested in seeing the new work we are doing for National Lab of Sweden on reading room loans, which is
Nice.
coming out for Trillium. But we are getting super close. I think we have a handful of tickets left out of 50 more something tickets we have done this these past 3 months here. So we're getting there. We will, of course,
Okay.
also present at the Resource Access SIG, but yeah, if you're interested, I can come back and maybe bring Kajsa and Andreas.
I think that sounds great. And is that the reading room functionality? Are you talking about kind of lending people materials to read in the reading room, or
Yes,
allowing
yes.
people to be in a reading room?
No,
Okay.
not the reading room access, but so we are using the term for use at location. So you have a loan maybe for 30 days, and then you check it out in the morning, sit and read in the reading room or where you have your desk at the library, and then you return it in the evening, and then the library has all necessary information to, in example giving in the National Lab of Sweden's case, if a patron has not picked it up for 7 days since last return, it's going back down in the stacks. So it's so all of these, you can say, it's not just check out, check in, check out, check in. It's also all the nitty-gritty small details. No, not in-house use. It's we use the label for use at location. In-house use is something else in Folio terminology.
Well, Charlotte, does this have to do with is this sort of like with the reading room app?
No. The
Oh.
reading room app is only for this that you can book or give. What is it? You can give your users permission to enter certain rooms. So that's the functionality for Library of
Okay.
Congress. This is built upon, you can say, the business logic on loans, but just, next level in order to accommodate these repeated check-in, check-outs.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, give me 1 month more or so, so I have the rest of the tickets done. But then we can definitely come back.
Okay. So maybe ready for maybe for December or January
Oh, yeah, December, certainly.
session.
Yeah,
Okay.
December, certainly. Yeah. And we
Okay.
have a little time to prepare for a smooth demo as well.
Sure. So let me just show the topic idea, the schedule that we've made for the sessions, but as I said, they're very loose. We can change things around. Today is the WolfCon recap and review. We had the archive space scheduled, but I think we should keep that one. We've rescheduled it already once, so I don't want to reschedule it again on the people who have prepared things for us. But Eureka updates, I think, is one that can be moved around, perhaps the circulation handling equipment. I don't know that there was any specific, pressing need for that. It was of interest, but maybe not higher than what we've just been talking about. And then I know we do keep putting off the softer skills session as well, but I think that's probably going to be just a, oh, I don't know. We'll see. And then the Tales from the Trenches, that's I think where the Library of Congress story would be really good, and I don't know if we'll need more than one for the day. But we can, like I said, we can move some of these around. So 11:18 or 12:02 or even 11:04 for maybe the RFID, they could come and talk to us on 11:04. Would people be up for RFID conversation?
Yes.
Okay. We got some thumbs up at least, so maybe 11:04 we can see if BVV can come. What time is 8 a.m. for you, Charlotte?
8 a.m.
Or sorry, 11 a.m. What time is it right now?
It's 5 p.m. No problem. It's
Okay.
afternoon.
Okay. All right, so maybe that's the tentative plan. We'll see if they can make it then. And then we'll see when Library of Congress can come. Okay, so today though we were gonna talk about WolfCon. I thought it was a really great WolfCon personally, and went to tons of sessions. And so we tried to get everybody thinking today about either three questions you have of people who went, or maybe of people who went to sessions that you didn't get to go to. And maybe three top takeaways or things that you're excited about or might use, or now you're worried about, or things of note. Did anyone prepare for this and would like to start? Surprise. So I prepared for this at like 4 a.m. when I woke up and said, oh wait, I haven't thought of my three things. So I can try to remember. One of them for sure though was the Lehi session that started off on how to do a weeding project and the APIs that they used for that and spreadsheets they cooked up and ways for their staff to go and mark them up and then from those automatically do whatever in Folio, add notes and maybe even withdraw. But at the end of the session, they said, well, in the middle of this, as we were going through the stacks, we said, oh, our books are out of order. So we needed to do an inventory first. And so they made an inventory app, just like that. Yeah.
Sure.
And
That would work.
I thought, whoa, that our group has been talking about how do we do an inventory for, a couple different sessions. So now I want them to come and talk to us. So maybe in the new year, we can get them to do that. So that was definitely one of my top takeaways. And another was all of the user roles in Eureka. I know Mara did a couple of sessions on that, and I went to one that EBSCO put on. So that was good information. And for me now, it's like, okay, now I kind of think I understand this, and I have to go run the scripts and see what our mappings will be. But I'm not scared of it anymore, shall I say. So I'm just going to do two takeaways because those were my top two.
I'll do one that kind of builds off yours. One of the things that I noticed, like, I feel like a lot of information made it back to me, and a lot of what people were excited about were things that were being built on top of Folio. So, like, the Lehi app, the Apache workflows, the Library of Congress session, of course. So, I was sort of like wondering, like if there are commonalities in all of these extensions that would suggest folio functionality that's missing. So that was one of my questions. And then my other takeaway is that talking with other SIGs, all the SIGs are experiencing sort of like a slowdown. Although this session kind of like goes against that, but like the summer slowdown seems like it was a real thing for everyone. And so I'm just sort of like, again, curious what caused that and like if there's anything that we can do to sort of prepare for that next year. So those are two. And I'm gonna save my third one too, since Darcy did. Joey.
Yeah, Joe.
Man, so mine is just basically an echo of the last two, and that is looking at the Library of Congress tool kit that they built with that browser extension, or workaround applications. And I feel like this is a repetitious conversation or point out is that every institution has built the same or very similar workaround tools. And like Tara pointed out, what's the commonality between all these that everybody needs this one workaround? So what is this, maybe is a deficiency in Folio that this should natively be available in an application to serve like everybody who, you know, one more thing to make Folio a turnkey solution is everybody needs this particular workflow app for weeding. And my question is for the SIG is how can we engage those institutions to represent that as a JIRA and build a conversation around it? Does it need to be a working group as part of implementers or RA or metadata management, depending on the workflow? And how can we facilitate those conversations?
Well, one of the things that someone said to me that I thought was really great was that some of the guides that we've made for implementers that address how people are doing different things, so like how people are printing labels, for example, are sort of like, I mean, first of all, those things are useful and they prevent people from having to do the same work over and over again. But also, they're kind of like mini surveys. So we get a sense of like, oh, well, here's the three or four different ways that people are doing this. Are these similar enough that it makes sense for this functionality to be in Folio? Maybe that's a way to move this forward.
I lean on those implementers' knowledge base wiki pages a lot, so I agree with you.
Can someone say what the Library of Congress toolkit thing was in the browser? I missed that.
It
Is
was a
this?
Chrome extension, right?
Yeah, it was a browser extension.
What were they doing in there?
What
Well,
were they not doing in there?
oh, really? Oh,
Yeah.
okay. Which session was that?
Right.
Can, does someone remember so I could go watch the video?
Yeah, I can put it
It
in
was on
chat.
the
I sent it to my group
last
yesterday.
day.
The last day.
And people could
Yeah.
not stop talking about it, you know.
Yes. Yeah, they built little macros. So if you needed to do a quick add of a holding or something, you would just click one button and it would automatically create a new holding in the instance and with predefined values depending on your workflow. It was context aware as you were working in the Folio app too. So your options would change depending on what panes you were in. And it was really cool, but it's one of those like, why don't we build a shortcut for this in Folio that other people can customize and it's part of the UI?
Yeah.
Right. The name of the session, it was on Thursday the 25th at 1:10 p.m. It's called Extending Folio, Library of Congress Tools and Customizations.
Thank you.
You still have your SCED, you know.
I do.
I was going to say, semi-related to your comment, Joe, is there was a presentation by one of the UI developers talking about the new personalization interface or personalization module, or I should say settings module to allow people to change the UI. Or I mean, I don't know, sorry, my brain is going in six different directions at once. I'm trying to wrangle it in one general direction. It was a new module that allowed front end to save settings to the back end. So like, for instance, if you go into like requesting, you want certain fields shown, you could select those and it could be saved to the back end. You could have settings at the tenant level. You could have settings at the user level. But it was also allowing for a framework to allow POs and other system designers to allow for more customization within the Folio UIs. That one was a pretty interesting thought too.
Do you remember the name of that one?
I will look for it and drop it in chat for you.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe part of what the Library of Congress should talk about when they come here is more about that toolkit then. Sounds like everyone would love to hear more about that. Kimberly.
One of my takeaways, even just going through the schedule before WolfCon, was the number of sessions and the amount of information that was out there about reporting. And I think there were just there's a lot of interest and need for that. And I even think that to an extent, the Library of Congress stuff, you know, although it was doing functionality, I think that there was a lot more. They showed a lot of the metadata stuff, but you could see from what they were showing that they had other implementations, you know, for other areas and other apps as well. So I just think that reporting continues to be a focus, and just how to get that accessible for everybody. That was my biggest takeaway.
Was that
accessibility would be nice.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I stepped aside to refill my juice cup. was this about the Lehigh reporting presentation?
I was just commenting that there were a lot of sessions that had to do with the reporting and reporting environments, different setups. I know it's a constant subject around here that we talk about getting access to MetaDB or not having access, looking at the enhanced functionality that's coming in Sunflower for lists, you know, whether to use bulk edit to create a list, or, you know, it's that kind of thing that I think is still kind of swirling throughout the community.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I remember having conversations probably 2 years back with some other community members on how I believe that Folio should have some base reporting functionality within it. And those conversations always ended with either Folio doesn't include reporting, or reporting is so complex, we could never get everybody's reporting needs within Folio. So we're not going to do it. But I think there is definitely, like, you're right, like a lot of the sessions, even some of the one working group ahead of time, was on reporting. I think there is a massive need for just baseline reporting functionality within the Folio system. I know they're trying to use the list app to kind of give a little bit of a stopgap with some of it. But I think there could be spaces where there is some in-app reporting on larger views of data that the majority of us could agree upon would be useful.
Charlotte,
yeah. So one suggestion I will say is that the reporting app we have in Folio, you know, it that's definitely a good starting point to use that. And the backend has been rewritten in Go here last year. So it is, you know, all up to date, following all of the TC's requirement and support by and is a tool, development tool approved by the TC. And I don't know how many of you are looking at the reporting app and have looked at the functionality there and the query builder. It can be expanded on, but there's definitely a lot of good things could be implemented in that app.
But perhaps the downside is, I don't know that it's a downside, but you have to be running MetaDB. It hooks into MetaDB. So for the folks that don't want to or don't feel like they can afford that, I guess there's still a need for reporting just natively in Folio for those that aren't using that external database.
Right. We just got access to MetaDB back in May. So, like, we're still brand new to it and still trying to learn and utilize, build things in it here. But we were on Folio from 2021 till May of this year without it. So, and I think that that's, a lot of people that implement, they're not necessarily jumping into MetaDB right away, and it can lead to frustrations.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Olga.
Unfortunately, MetaDB is not part of something that EBSCO is offering, and we are definitely not able to do something like that on our own. So for us, reporting and analytics is a big missing part that we are trying to compensate with all these other lists and circ app and circ log and panorama. So doing annual report is a disaster. It takes forever me now. But interestingly, in our previous system, it was all there, and it seems libraries did agree to what was there. At least there was some, as many said, some baseline that everyone was able to use. And I don't remember seeing so many presentations on reporting at the conference. So I think there is room for improvement.
Always.
But this one is a big one for us too.
Ara, I think you have your hand up.
I was I wanted to bring up Tara's comment in the chat that there's a difference between reporting as analytics and reporting as list making for day-to-day functionality. I thought I would put a shout out to Lehi's presentation on different reporting options. They started with reports that you could generate inside each app versus reports, the reporting app versus lists app versus just the pure SQL to MetaDB. One step away from existing is pure consciousness. Just sort of like they talked about sort of like the how complex the stuff you could get and how easy it was to run and how much of a learning curve there was for each option so that you had a really good idea as to like, here are all these possibilities. But this one, the in-app reports, very limited, but you don't need to know anything extra. And then they work to, the reporting app where you can create reports, you can pull them in from, I think that's the one. And a big thumbs up to Thomas's comment in the chat. So I'm looking for the link to that one now, and I'll put it in the chat just so we can, because I thought that one was a very helpful just sort of grounding in what's out there for reporting. And, you know, it just would make things, I think it makes things a lot easier. So,
Are you saying that's already available?
in terms
The
of reports and lists and things,
right. Like this baseline reporting that Thomas typed into the chat, the total checkouts by service point, check-ins, etc. Is
no,
that
it's
possible
not.
to get?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no,
No.
no. Sorry. I don't mean to confuse
No,
you.
it's fine.
That's
It's fine.
But you know, it's like the things that Tom's got here, like I maybe just from using Alma, like those are things that I would expect to be in an external analytics platform. Like you have to go to Alma Analytics or whatever to get that. So that feels like fairly normal to me. The thing that drives me crazy is like I can see the things on the screen. Why can't I have them in my export? Like that kind of stuff makes me insane. Like I think it's a balance, you know. Because obviously MetaDB is very powerful and can get you all of these things. But that doesn't solve the problem of many people not having it. And yeah, the session that we had at the cross-app SIG was really interesting. Sort of like the challenges of agreeing like what would be it in a baseline export. I still think it would be cool if we could just get the stuff that is literally on the screen out as a start, but maybe that doesn't make sense for every app.
I think it's mostly with ERM, used with ERM, maybe the dashboard. There's a dashboard app, right? And
Yes.
is it possible that some sort of baseline, these baseline reporting things make sense to be on that screen?
Well, isn't the dashboard app you can only have it with ERM apps as it is currently?
As it is currently.
Yeah.
But
They
you
were
can't
asking.
export what's on the dashboard either, I don't think.
No.
Is that
Oh,
true?
no.
Oh. I'm not sure. We don't
Yeah, well,
export
that.
that.
Yeah, I believe that's true, right? I believe you can't export it. I know there was Owen, and I forget who the other gentleman was, went around to the SIGs and was asking them what else they would like to see in the dashboard. And when they hit RA, they got a massive list because it was some of that stuff, like how many open requests are there for a specific circulation point, kind of like a heads-up display for circulation. Because they were looking at extending the dashboard functionality into more areas. Unfortunately, I don't think the resources were there to do it.
But to me, that does seem like a good place to do it, to have those different types of reports. I mean, versus maybe having them in each of the individual apps themselves. But sorry, I think Charlotte, your hand was up. Mine was not. Sorry.
Didn't Owen Stevens talk about that he wanted to do the dashboard implementation generic so it would be easy for the different development teams to do dashboard creation for the apps the apps they were owner of. I think that would be if they just could get that done, then all then Foliot could do it for inventory and Vega and Volaris for circulation modules, etc.
Did Owen say it already was generic enough, or that they need to change it up?
He needed to implement it so it would be a more generic solution. They created it so it fitted for the agreement and the different ERM apps. And of course, looking it in the what's called the hind mirror or something, they should of course have done the generic implementation and then done specific for ERM next.
Hindsight is 2020.
Hindsight, Do you know if Owen was just talking about that as a, oh yeah, we need to do that, or if it's actually a plan?
I remember him talking about that in the cross-app SIG,
Yeah.
but that was like
2 years ago or
2 years
something.
ago. Yeah,
Oh.
But we I
But it
can
looked
check.
good.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
can check with him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It looked really good.
Yeah,
Like
because
I was
I
trying to
think
get like
It would make a folio, a much more useful tool for, and people would, kind of own it more for, because then it would reflect directly their own work task. But yeah, I can ask him and then post in your channel what he is responding.
So yeah, Tara, that's a good question. Do we think implementers wants to get involved in this reporting question? I
That is
mean,
a good
there is a
question.
reporting SIG, but I think that a good thing about implementers is that it is for general things that everybody needs that don't fit into other groups. But since it's not just one app that works right now, I don't know. I haven't been to the reporting SIG, but if anyone does go to that, do they think it this fits perfectly there and we
I
should bring
mean,
it
I
up
go
there?
regularly to the reporting SIG, but I think, they're looking for ways to get that message out across apps, which is probably why Jennifer went to the cross-app SIG, right? Because I think it is a struggle for everyone. It's not, I think reporting is another one of those things that kind of crosses a lot of apps because people who are in inventory want reporting, people who are in acquisitions want reporting. People who are in course reserves want reporting. It's kind of a
Yeah, so does the reporting SIG have a state of reporting document or something like for a crossfolio?
know in the beginning, when I started a couple of years ago, and Duke was part of the project, they were doing some recordings about like the state of reporting. Like some basic training to bring on people to say these are the different reporting options, and this is kind of what you have to have in place, talking about LDP at the time. But I think that our functionality has grown past that too. And I really am looking forward to the Sunflower implementation for us locally, because I do think that the enhancements in lists is going to maybe change that attitude a little bit. But it's kind of a waiting game for us until we get upgraded. People can get into the snapshot environment and play with it, but that's time consuming because you have to load up things to play with. So
Right.
Kathleen and the team that she's working with, she's the PO for lists, and the dev group that she's working with are expanding lists quickly. I know that I have a task that I have to do for the end of Trillium, for they can start working on Umbrella Leaf to incorporate request data into the list app. I believe they already are working on fine fee data. So they're trying to move through the apps fairly quickly and pull as much data as they can from each app area. So I do know that they're trying to encompass a lot very quickly.
And I said that in cross-app the other day that I think that the expansion of the list functionality might satisfy a lot of, the frustrations and the things that we're talking about. I just noticed that it's a really big topic, because it does affect everybody and their work.
I did drop another session in the chat, which I went to, which was fairly interesting. It was the architectural blueprint and state of Eureka, present and future. Craig has some very interesting slides because he had interactive slides where if you he had like three or four discussion points that you could talk about, and depending on which discussion point it was, it would jump forward to another slide. So even just maybe looking through the slides was interesting, but I found that presentation interesting because they did discuss Kong in a little bit more detail and some of the efforts around that and what the quote unquote issues are. But then also there was other topics that came up about breaking up and creating more distinction between apps, combining apps, that sort of thing. So if you're on a techie side of Folio, I strongly suggest checking out that one.
Yeah, I was in that one. It was interesting. But it was interesting to me because they talked about Kong. I mean, Kong is like, oh, let's switch to Kong. And now it's like, wait, we can't use Kong, or maybe we don't want to use Kong. Like, ah, we're trying to get Kong to work. And so, but they kind of downplayed it too, saying, well, we had to, we switched from whatever search app searching indexing was used to Elasticsearch, and now there's open search. And it's like, this doesn't happen. It happens fairly regularly that the infrastructure tools are changed. So they were trying to say, don't panic. right, this so far this has been really great. I don't want to leave reporting just kind of hanging where it is though, because what do we what should we do next? Should we as a group do something? Should we take this information to one of the other places? Is it cross app? Is it reporting? Is it a new, I don't know if we need a new working group, but do more of us want to get involved in something that's already happening? I don't know.
I mean, like, I think that for implementers, it would be cool to have a resource, like, sort of like what Kimberly was talking about, like at the beginning, like, here's what you need and like, here's what people are using. I think that would be sort of like our vibe, but I'm also curious what reporting already has. So maybe a good first step be to like reach out, or I'm going to a reporting meeting not that long from now, so I could ask about that. It's possible that already exists. In fact, it's likely that that already exists.
They've got a lot of writing in there on their SIG space.
I
They are
see you, Joe.
quite organized. Yes.
Okay. That's a good idea. All right. More takeaways or more questions? Kate.
Yeah, so this was interesting for me as this was the first WolfCon after we went live. So there was a lot of just thinking of it from a different perspective because I can say that the previous ones I attended, it was all about tell me about migration, tell me about migration. And but with this one, it was interesting to be able to start looking ahead and planning. So, like understanding Eureka permissions was particularly helpful, and I am so glad I made our user permission sets so simple. So hopefully I won't have a headache in the future. But really, the two that stood out to me the most is, and Tara, you'll be happy to hear this one, the learning about the various SIGs, or the SIG showcase, I think it was called. That one inspired me a little bit in that I was able to recognize finally that, hey, definitely want to get the rest of my staff involved more in the community. So this is definitely one of the videos that's on my short list to send to everyone. And I've already targeted a few people at PCOM to be, like, hey, I would really like it if you started like attending or at least paying attention to the SIG. So, we can get our small medical, whatever else, perspective in there. The other one with that is, I'll admit, was more personal, but I think it's a good and important conversation because it kind of, it's not, it was the session on accessibility across open platforms that Maccabee led. I'll grab the accessibility compliance efforts across OSS project. So we had Maccabee, John Coburn, Nick Bant, Chris Hallberg, all talking about that. And really, one of the big things that falls into it is it gets into the discussion also of user experience and everything. So that could be particularly helpful. And also, that's my pet area of interest and work in library. So I will say that if you watch that stream, you'll hear me speak up a few times, and it is my plan to reinvigorate that SIG. So it's a nice little inspiring one. Just have to survive this month.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay, I was going to put this in a chat, but Tara, you need to do a podcast.
I mean, I was joking the first time, but actually, it would be awesome if that existed.
Yeah, And I wonder if it's something that could be done across all the different SIGs. There's a podcast SIG now, but like we kind of did this jokingly at the at Man Library. Our access services director and our AV guy were like, "Oh, let's do a podcast," and it started out as a joke, but people actually really listened to it because it was something that they could ingest while they were on the bus or somewhere else, and it was little pieces of information. So if we did like a let's say a monthly or biweekly Folio podcast that was just going over the highlights of what's happening in different SIGs. Oh, Sunflower's coming out. And did you know that this new feature is in Sunflower and you could do this? Like, I think people would eat it up. I know I would be listening to it. So, yeah.
I think I would also be a really good podcast host. I think that like I missed my opportunity to have zines when I was like a teenager, and this is my chance to get back at that. Like,
Hey man, podcasts and zines. Let's
I'd
make this
subscribe.
a homemade layer on top.
Well, we could put
Folio zine
a
would be awesome.
resurrection. Yeah, but like I'd have to have like all the cool like ultra photocopied graphics in it. Like
That's
I had a vision when I was 12 of what this would look like. But
good.
like, this would be a great place to like, sort of I don't know, socialize the idea of like, oh, the accessibility SIG is important and coming back sometime. So like, not just like re a readout of agendas, but like, hot goss on the Folio circuit as well.
Right.
Okay, well, someone find 6 hours
Was
a
that
week to
the
do that in.
I was
What
saying, I
6 hours
thought
is
that's what
that?
this SIG was for.
I mean, it kind of is. That's why it's like if it was going to be somewhere, it would be here. But to that though, like one of the other points that I took away was that getting agendas out ahead of time is kind of like a bit of an equity issue almost, because I didn't really comprehend that small libraries who only have one person who can attend all of these SIGs are maybe using those to decide what's most important every week, and that also getting the notes out is really important for that same reason. So I at least am going to try and do a better job at least in cross out.
It's very appreciative, but also I think everyone should be happy that this is the SIG that I chose to focus on. And it
It means that we won the Felicity battle, right? Like,
can.
right. Yeah. No, I mean that is what the SIG is supposed to be. Maybe we should bring that in as like a standing agenda item, but
Valerie, your comment makes me happy. Because I want to do the same thing.
I'm very glad it does. And I guess I'll just chime in at this point. I'm typically pretty quiet because I'm fairly new to the SIGs, and so I'm finding my way around and seeing what's going on in our particular system. And during the audit, one of the things that I noticed, and I don't know if anyone here has noticed that, there are a lot of duplicates. Okay, Maura's nodding. And that is
A
sort
lot.
of driving me crazy, and I don't know what it means, how to dig into that, because as we get ready to transition over into Eureka, I'm wondering who's going to do that kind of cleanup for us so that we don't have to see all of that extraneous things going on. All right, that's it.
No, that's a really good question. There are a couple of developers who are creating tools that will analyze what you already have and try to, make them into like take the permission sets and turn them into like roles. So that, or the capabilities into roles so that, you have to do less of it. But, the idea of like simplifying the thing across the board, that's great. And, I mean, I have discovered that you can infinitely nest the permissions as they currently exist. You can just keep nesting them. They're just like those little matryoshkas of permissions, where, you have a permission set and, you open it up and it's another permission set with a bunch of permissions. You open that one up, it's another permission set. And you just keep on going until
It
Wow.
is. And then it makes me wonder, like, how many of those can we delete before something's broken?
Right. Yeah, that's well, if you want to kind of play around with stuff, I'm just going to put out a little shout out to restarting the Eureka Labs, which is basically just a place to mess around with Eureka permissions. So if nothing else, you can start with, what does this common permission set do? And then see if you can create the same permission set using the Eureka capabilities and, kind of see how well that works.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. I saw you mention that somewhere else. I don't know which SIG because I've been dibbling and dabbling in a bunch of SIGs and trying to just sort it out.
Right.
So I have heard that. So I'd be interested in learning more about that and participating in it.
I put the announcement in Folio General Slack channel. So that's kind of like where the, you can find the link to the meeting. And if you want like a calendar thing, I'll set it up. Most people, they kind of like they showed up, they futzed around for a little while and then they left. And I was hosting little lab sessions with only me in there.
I think it would be helpful now because we're closer. Like we're all starting to be like, oh, it's coming. I really got to figure this out. And so that would be nice. I'm thinking about these roles. I was trying to figure out like what's the real difference. I don't have a lot of nested stuff. I try to keep it really simple, but like I have my student manage like student desk workers, and I have like student managers who have all the student desk worker permissions plus another one. So I'm picturing I'm like making two new what are they called?
Roles,
Capabilities. That then
capabilities.
I would give them two capabilities instead of giving them like one with a nested one in it. I don't know. So I am envisioning what I need to do, but it'd be nice to be able to figure
Right.
that
Yeah.
out.
Yes.
Yes.
As Kate pointed out too, is one of the big pr differences with the new Eureka permissions versus the prior permission system is you can't nest roles, so you can't include like your student-based permissions and your supervisor permissions. You either have to do a copy of the student permissions and then extend those, so you're only assigning one, or you have to assign both roles to the person.
Yeah, I think I would probably have two different like roles. Well, I mean, I think I would add the student desk and then the student manager, whatever's added in would be like a separate role. And so I'd have two for the managers. That seems better to me than trying to copy. Because if you
That way,
copy,
save
then
your
you
time.
have to like each one of them, you'd have to update when one permission changes that both of them have. Oh, it's going to be,
Exactly.
yeah,
And
I don't know.
and that was the issue that I was having too. It's like we have a lot, we have multiple permission sets for different levels within the library. I was actually going to go to the extreme, and it's still on our wiki what we were planning, and I was actually getting rid of all position-based roles and creating system roles instead. So you wouldn't have a like if you were a cataloger, there wouldn't be a cataloger role. There would just be a role that allows you to access QuickMark, and there would be a role to access inventory. And based on what your job description was, you would get a whole bunch of roles assigned to you. It doesn't mean that people would have a ton of roles, but it also will allow us to get more granular with what people can and can't do in the system. And when we get those one-off things like, oh, I'm in collection development, but I want access to some of the stuff in cataloging, we currently have to give them basically catalogers permissions. So now they have access to Mark, and we don't want them to have access to QuickMark
Right.
sort of things.
So would you say that the way you're setting things up now, the permissions and the capabilities are related to functions, things you can do? rather than a position, who somebody is or what
Yes,
their
that is
position.
100%. So, and it's actually like, it's actually for me, it makes more sense because it's going towards more of a IT sort of slant on the permissions within Folio instead of a more of a a user job description set. We are actually pulling back right now for rewriting our permissions for Sunflower because we have a bunch of other things that are kind of hitting at the same time. So I'm not going to have the time to put all these in and test them, but it's going to be something we probably do after Sunflower. So we're actually going to be relying on one of those permissions transfer scripts from the developers. So
Yeah.
it'll be fun.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so in the case at PCOM, we have roughly 20 staff, so it's a lot easier. But it's one of those where people, play different roles. And the way that I organized the people in charge of different groups was to say, hey, go app by app largely. We only have, I would say, three position like focused permission sets, and they're basically, if you have to work the front desk, and you're a staff member, a student front desk worker, and then the extreme powers that controls the universe sets that myself and one other person has. So we kind of limit it there. Everything else, it's like going, oh, Quick Mark, here's a set of permissions for Quick Mark. Do we need to do anything fancy here? We might have something for, say, in like e-holdings, and say like, oh, you can do this, but someone needs to have these higher ones. And I didn't nest them at all. It was just like, hey, this one needs this, this one needs this. Because in trying to filter that out, just because what's interesting is even with a small staff, you get the overlaps in really
Oh,
complicated ways.
I would think that it's even worse with a small staff because you can't
Probably,
just,
yeah.
oh, this is not my job. This goes over to this department because this department is also you sometimes, you know.
Yeah, our solution at Wellesley is we give pretty broad permissions and we tell them just to be careful. And
Right.
that's how we've just, I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, ask somebody else who does. And that's kind of how we roll.
My problem was is on the migration when we had our weekly meetings on it, our chief InfoSec officer was present, and that led to her asking questions later. It was like, no, can't just give out the permissions to everyone. Although I will admit there are a few staff members that I would not have given wide permissions to. I don't know which is worse, the staff member who will just do things aimlessly and then be surprised that it breaks, or someone who wants to try to troubleshoot on their own, but not necessarily know how to undo what they do.
But the I had said that when it comes to permissions gone wrong, they basically come from three areas. And in increasing order of frequency, it's malice, mischief, and whoopsie. Sort of like, oh, I didn't realize I clicked that button. And there's a lot to, almost never, and in fact, I don't think I ever have run into malice where someone is just going to go, well, I'll show you and, do something horrible to the system. But there is a lot of mischief, sort of, I wonder if I can do this. And they know they're not supposed to, but they want to see if they can do it anyway. Sort of like the I've been playing goalie against a lot of that for for a long time. But
Out. So, hey everyone, it is the hour, or 1 minute short of the hour, so we should probably wrap this up. I'm wondering, do we need to talk about this again, or should everyone be going to the labs and going to the user management SIG, which meets on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday or every
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
The meetings are the first and third Wednesday. at 9 a.m. Eastern time. The labs where you can mess around with Eureka will be on the second and fourth, because basically we switched to a twice a month meeting schedule because we didn't need to meet every week, and I reserved that time in case we needed it on the second and fourth.
Would you consider another day more in this case some people can't ever make Wednesdays and or that time? It's too early for certain time zones.
I appreciate it. And if there's another time to do it, this just happened to be where the user management SIG meeting time was. So if we wanted to have another one, I'm perfectly happy to do it. Or
Maybe
at
an
least just do
opposite, because we only meet every other week for this meeting. I wonder if we could have one in between. It could be on permissions.
Yeah. Can I steal
Yeah, we
meeting
could.
time?
Yeah, Tom's not using it anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. I will get a list of dates
Oh, awesome.
and set up a, I don't know, a calendar thing or something, so that
I mean, it could be the implementers meeting also if you want, or you can use the same Zoom that you use for user management, or else the same Zoom that we use for implementers.
Right.
Just coordinate with me if you use the same Zoom at a different time that you normally do, because there might already be another meeting scheduled for that.
Right.
In terms of the using the link or
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's shared Zoom accounts. They're not dedicated
Okay.
to a SIG, and so there might be another meeting that is already scheduled to meet at that time.
Okay. Well, I know that if you would use the implementers, I think that it would be safe because we did used to meet weekly at that time slot. So I assume that would be okay to
Okay.
use that.
Would
Yeah,
this time
that
slot
if the
be
meeting
okay for
is still
those who
there,
can't
yeah.
do Wednesdays?
Sorry, you cut out more. I think you were asking. Yes, this time would be great if for me who can't do Wednesday, but I don't know about other people.
I'll see how many people how much interest there is after a few weeks.
Fair.
Yeah,
Thank you.
ask on Slack. Okay, folks, I think we should wrap up then. Thank you all
Okay.
for coming. This was a great conversation. The last thing that was on the list was to say that next year is in Prague. So start
Woohoo.
making your plans end of
Yeah.
August in Prague. All right, thanks for coming. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks,
Bye.
everyone. Take care. Bye.